ahead and welcome to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Happy Monday, August 12th. Did you have a good weekend?
I had an awesome weekend.
Don't we always have an awesome weekend?
Maybe one of the best weekends ever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's just one where everything went right.
A perfect weekend.
Perfect weekend.
Don't you wish you could say that on a Friday? Like, hey, I know that I'm going to have a perfect weekend this weekend.
You know, I think somehow on Friday I knew that we were just coming into something really good.
Yeah.
And it's the way it worked out.
Maybe it's because we knew who our guest was going to be on Monday.
Oh, I'm so pumped up for our guest.
Do you think that has a lot to do with that we knew Friday that Carl McKissick was going to be joining us in the studio?
I had to pinch myself to see.
Maybe that's why you had such a great weekend. Yeah. Because of that.
I knew that we were going to get a chance to know Carl McKissick, the man.
And he joins us, flesh and blood, right behind me. How you doing, Carl?
Doing well. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for joining us. We really, really do appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Taking time out of your busy schedule. I know it's crazy in dispatch and running the company and everything and having all the weight.
Just running the company. You might have something to do.
Of my poor decisions every day on your shoulders.
That is a very
He's not laughing point. At all. He's like, you're exactly right.
Very valid point, Zach. That's exactly right.
He wasn't laughing at all. We wanted to get started today by just kind of talking about like your history in trucking. I think a lot of guys probably don't know that a lot of guys and gals are drivers and maybe other employees. But how did you get your start in the business? Has it always been in trucking? Did you do something else before you got into trucking? Like, what was the start for Mr. McKissick?
So I have always been in the trucking industry. I got my undergraduate degree from University of Kentucky. Grew up in Western Kentucky. I always knew I wanted to go to University of Kentucky. Didn't even look at any other schools, actually. And once I graduated from University of Kentucky, I received my MBA from Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond. But
wow.
Throughout college, I worked at a dock at what was then called Roadway Package System, unloading and loading trucks. I started off on the afternoon shift and then got moved up to the morning shift, loading the feeder cars out. And terminal manager and I got along really well, and I actually ended up doing a internship there and did a case study for one of my classes. And my terminal manager said, hey, when you graduate, I would love to talk to you. I'm like, yeah, whatever. At the time, I knew, you know, I wanted to go a couple of different ways, but I didn't think transportation was going to be one of them.
Yeah.
But I always kept that dialogue with him. And once I graduated from graduate school, I put out some resumes, and I went back and talked to him. And he says, man, we would really love to have you be part of this team. And ended up actually interviewing with Yellow, LTL, and had an offer from them, and also was fortunate enough to get the offer from Roadway Package System, which since then has been bought out by FedEx. But anyway, so that's how I got started. And then my first job took my wife and I to Chicago, Illinois, where we lived up there for 3 years. And, you know, that was a pure pup operation. We didn't have any actually 53-foot trailers at all. But what we did out of there was we would run triples from Hammond, Indiana to Toledo, Ohio. We ran about 20 sets of triples every day.
Can you still run triples out there?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. You can still run triples on that. And
wow,
what blows my mind more than anything, in the 3 years that I was there, we only did not run triples one time, and that was because of wind up an advisory. It was nothing to do with the snow. So wow. You can think about that, yeah. With all that lake effect snow, and we still ran the triples. But anyway, so I was there for 3 years, and then I turned down a couple terminal manager positions that were going to take me to Minnesota and also take me to Pennsylvania. And at the time, my wife's from Louisville, and we both wanted to get back down to the South. And
yeah.
I had an opportunity to go to hook up with Service Transport, which was a regional LTL carrier at the time. So fortunate enough to go to work for them here in Nashville, and brought my wife and I back down here. And I worked for them for, I guess, 10 years. And now I'm starting my 15th year here. So I started out in small package, went to LTL, and now I'm in the truckload. And I never forget this. I guess it was about 3 years ago. Mike says, well, now all you need to do is get in the on the container business. And I was like, are you trying to get rid of me, or what's going on here?
That's crazy. Mike McFarlane, our owner. What was the culture shock like going from being a Kentucky boy, going up and being knee deep in Chicago? Like, did you live in Chicago, or did you live kind of on the suburbs, or what was that like?
Well, our first year we lived in a suburb, which was probably less than a mile from the terminal. Probably never worked more hours in my life than I did at that time, because wow. Any problem, there was a problem at the terminal, I got the call.
Oh, Carm's right down the road.
Yeah, Carm lives a mile away.
Yeah, exactly. But then the last 2 years, we lived right in the city, and it was absolutely awesome. We absolutely loved it. Of course, didn't have any children at the time, so we were able to do a lot of fun stuff, a lot of sightseeing, and actually really enjoyed the whole experience. We loved Chicago, so it wasn't something, you know, that we were just dreading, but you know, at the time we wanted to. I had the opportunity to come back south, and we jumped on it, so it worked out well.
That's great. What would you say, you've been in transportation your whole career. If you wouldn't have done transportation, like, and I think this is a deeper question, but like, what with your degree, what else could you have done with that degree besides getting into logistics?
I knew I always wanted to be involved in some type of management. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I was, you know, very excited, you know, when I found out, you know, that, you know, everybody thinks of, whether it's transportation, whether you're small package or whether you're LTL or whether you're truckload, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference between them in a stance that at the end of the day, it comes down to people. You know, we can have all these high-dollar machines, these tractors, these trailers, everything else on these trucks. But at the end of the day, you still have to be able to get a group of people working for the same goal and moving in the same direction. And I think that's what, you know, makes this industry so challenging and so fun and rewarding, is because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, from machinery, from customers, from employees, you know, trying to keep drivers happy. And it's just it's a constant struggle, and you never have the same problems every day. You have a different problem that you've got to solve every day, and I think that's what's kept me in the business for as long as it has.
Yeah, and it's working out great here at M&W. I talk to a lot of people in the industry whether we're out and about or at conferences or shows or whatever, and they ask, you know, what makes M&W so successful? And my first response is, man, we have got the right mix of people, you know, doing the stuff and calling the shots. I mean, is this as good as you've seen here? I mean, and I know there's always room to improve, but we've got a pretty good thing going here at M&W with the folks that we got here.
Yeah, of course, my first job with RPS, you know, that's 100% owner operators at RPS. Whether you were in a feeder van or whether you were an 18-wheeler, you know, it was all owner operator contractors, whatever you want to call them. And you know, it was a billion-dollar company, and there's a lot of bureaucracy that goes along with that. But what happens is, especially on the owner operator side, it almost, you know, there's no sense of unity. It's like, hey, you're running your business, and we're going to tell you how to run your business. And oh, by the way, that, you know, that particular contractor, you know, if he doesn't keep his truck up, then, you know, it's his fault. Where it's, you know, it's really hard to deal with the contractors, which I did not enjoy that. I'd much rather have everyone on the same page working for the same company. But it works for a lot of people. I didn't care for it myself.
Well, cool. Well, Carm McKissick joins us. We're going to get into a little bit more of his time here at M&W and kind of where he sees transportation going. Lots and lots of changes. Chris and I talk about that kind of all the time. So we'll talk with him here in a second. You're listening to The Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. Hang with us.
Hi, my name's Freeman Key, and I drive truck 569, and you're listening to The Drive Podcast. podcast with Zach and Chris.
Drivers, would you like to earn a quick $1,000? Refer a driver today. We're always in need of over-the-road drivers out of all locations. There's no cap on how many drivers you can recruit. We spend money on advertising every month, but would really rather put that money in your pocket. And remember, you always need to send those drivers to drivemw.com where they can apply and learn about M&W. Let's put that $1,000 in your pocket today.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. We're here in the studio today with President of M&W Logistics Group, Mr. Carm McKissick. And Carm, it's a great story you've got, and I'm sure all our drivers are really glad to hear it, how you came up in this industry, that you're really a thoroughbred and seen it all, and we're here at this point right now. So here we are. It's 2019. We've had ups. We've had downs. Where do you see the industry going, specifically M&W and the truckload industry over the next 2 or 3 years, especially coming into 2020? There's a lot of chatter out there. How do you see it?
Well, I think I think we all know we came off of a very strong 2018, probably one of the best years I've seen since I've been in the industry.
Yeah, for sure.
The first two quarters of 2019, I would say they've been good. We haven't been stellar, but we've been good. I see, here we are in August. It's definitely, been a little slower than what I would like to see. July was not a stellar month for us, but historically it's not. You had July 4th on a Thursday this year, and then basically Friday, it was very slim as well. So you basically had two holiday days involved in the July month, and it was overall a little, for lack of a better term, stagnant as far as I'm concerned. And August is, we've gotten off to a slow start here as well. But what I see most of going on right now is, I think we have some economy issues going on. The housing market has slowed, which affects, some of our big customers. I think the other side of that is what's going on with the tariffs right now, that they're not, the big corporations are not able to make the decisions because they don't know what direction to go. So yeah. I think statistics show that warehousing is at an all-time high because these big corporations are holding on to their inventories, supposedly the word is, if they know that the tariff's going to be terrible, that's fine, but at least they know how to plan, whereas right now, just, not knowing either way, it's kind of, building the warehousing inventories up, which obviously affects transportation, and, a lot of that is rail and, truckload carriers. So I think that's all part of it. The other side of it, everybody's talking about what the ELDs are going to do to the capacity, but I think your reputable companies, it's going to be fine. It might put some of your smaller mom and pops out of business, but
everybody's kind of on the same playing field now.
Well, yeah, but we've been doing that for so long. We've been playing by the rules for so long.
Exactly. A few things that I'm concerned about overall would be on the excess insurance market. There's only two companies that are insuring right now, and I think I could see some of the smaller companies who don't have excellent safety records like we do, I could see it putting them out of business. I think that's how come we can never lose focus, that our number one goal at our company is safety, and it's not just lip service, it's what we have to do every day. This business is a very tight margin business on trying to get your return on your investment, and as we all know, one accident, I don't care how small it is, it's expensive. And everyone is out there, I shouldn't say everyone, but most people, when they see a truck and they get hit by a truck, the first thing they see is big dollar signs, and that's all they're thinking about. So,
and that's why this excess insurance thing is such a big deal now, because you have these big litigations, and even minor accidents are translated into big, big bucks, and more than a lot of these small companies can absorb. And it's there's almost no defense against it right now, other than, like you said, have the very best safety program that you can have.
Yeah, and you know, when we talk to anybody we're interviewing, or when we're having our safety meetings, and you know, we're talking to our drivers, you know, we always tell them, hey, this is for your best interest, and it's also for the best interest of our company. I mean, we want to be here for many years ahead. But the other thing that I shouldn't say concerned about, I think we're watching closely, is I know we've all talked about it in the office here in our meetings, but it's called the IMO 2020, which I don't know if I'm going to get the acronym exactly right, but it's International, I think, Maritime Organization. And basically what it is the big vessels that carry the containers, you know, out on the open seas, you know, 300 or 400 containers on a ship. But
right.
Starting January 1st, they all have to start burning the same diesel fuel that goes into our tractors and trailers. So right now I think they have to be like at a 3.5% sulfur rate, but come January 1st, they have to be 0.5% or below. But, you know, so you look at that and you're like, well, what does that have to do with M&W transportation? Well, statistics show it's going to be, for them, it's going to be between 10 to 15% more diesel fuel that is going to be burned in these ships. So, you know, right there, you take 15% out of the current market, you know, can it be absorbed because the U.S. is making more oil than we've ever made? Or is it going to come a time where they're going to use the fuel companies are going to use it to play supply and demand and really jack the rates up on fuel?
There's my guess.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I can't sit here and say if I wasn't on the fuel side, I would do the same thing. But anyway, so that's some concerns that we have. And, you know, we've talked to our sales force and they're well aware of as well, but we'll keep a close eye on that. And hopefully, you know, we'll get through August here and then we'll start seeing historically the third quarter into that fourth quarter is usually our best month. So we're hoping to see increased business and get back to where I like hearing drivers complain about they're having to work too much instead of we're trying to keep them busy. So we like having the drivers complain about working too much.
Yeah, that's one of the great things about M&W too, is that with our current ownership and leadership from guys like you, Carm, we've weathered a lot of storms. I mean, we weathered that recession when a lot of companies were getting going out of business, getting eaten up. You know, the strategy of slow conservative growth and strength has really served us well, and it'll serve us well this time. So there's a lot of doom and gloom out there in the press and in the industry publications and everything. But you know, and here at M&W though, the whole industry's might take a little bit of a hit, but yeah. We're in great shape.
The thing with IMO is it's going to cause more of an effect early in the fourth quarter, just because you can't that fuel that they've been making at that 3.5% and above, they can't make it anymore.
Yeah.
So they're not going to just shut down January 1st. They're going to start slowly stop making that percentage of fuel. So that's why it's going to kind of back up, and that's why there's a little bit of concern about it. Carm brought that up, but I think we'll start to see some of those fuel fluctuations starting in the fourth quarter, where you're not even able to get that old style of diesel fuel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect, you know, what it does is, I think that I read something today where it's like 85% now more of that kind of fuel is going to be needed across the world. Where in the past it hasn't been needed.
Right.
So we just got it. We got to get ready for it. And we are. I mean, that's the thing. We have meetings and we talk about it. And that's why, you know, Carm's a great leader for us on that.
I think the other side, you know, just talking about the overall freight market right now, there's a lot of customers, of course, coming and asking for us to cut our rates. You know, I mean, I think, you know, last year you were able to pretty much come close to naming your rates because capacity was so tight. But you know, they, this, you know, at the end of the day, we're nothing but a commodity anyway. So they know, they're playing their supply and demand games right now. They see the same statistics that we all see. So, you know, they're coming back and trying to beat up carriers, including us, to decrease our rates. But, you know, that's a hard business model to make work when we continue to upgrade our equipment. Insurance continues to go up to an all-time high, both medical and P&C. And then also dealing with, you know, giving our employees wages, which is what we want to continue to do. So we're trying to hold firm on the soft rate market right now and to weather this and get through it. But, you know, kind of, Chris, what you talked about earlier, I know a lot of the drivers have been here a long time, but not only it's very vivid in my mind, you know, we survived that 2006-2007 recession. We had to make some tight, rough decisions, but also let's not forget what happened in 2010.
Oh, yeah, the flood, for
yeah,
sure.
So that was, you talking about having a financial, you know, stable company. That's mirror image right there. There's not many companies that could weather what we weathered and Mike weathered through that grueling 18 months, which was very grueling to say the least. But anyway, it's one of those deals that, you know, I would love to see the market like it was last year. Fact is, it's not. So we need to adapt. So that's what we're working on. That's what we're going to do.
As we wrap up here, I think one of the cool things for the guys maybe who didn't know you or know your background in depth, it's cool to know that you kind of started out, you know, in college, you know, on the dock and doing things, and it's like you've shifted with the whole, you've shifted with the industry and are doing different things now, but you've been in it for a long time, and you started in it, and that's great. That's great to know. I think that's what makes you, I mean, I don't mind saying that, I think it's what makes you a great leader for our company, is because you've seen the ebb and flow, and you've been with different types of companies and understand how they work.
He's not going to give you a raise.
I know, probably not. I made a mistake earlier this week or last week, so it's like I need forgiveness.
Right.
So I'm buttering him up. What's one thing about Carr McKissick that nobody knows? Maybe your family knows, but is there something special? Do you have like a weird hobby? Are you like a falconer or something? Or
ooh, hidden talent.
Yeah.
Falconer. That's what you.
I can see Carm, like, you know, in the backyard, like with his falcon.
I lead a very boring life. I have a great life. I love more than anything being with my wife and being with my family. And if I'm not working, that's pretty much what I'm doing. So I don't. I like to work out. Spend time with my family. I guess somebody probably wouldn't know about me. It's not close. It's about 18 months ago I went vegan.
Yeah.
And my wife has been vegan for probably 4 years now. And I was sitting around the day after Christmas. I'd been to four or five Christmas parties and just feeling like a sloth. And I said, what was that documentary that you watched that got you to go to be a vegan? Anyway, it's called Forks Over Knives. And I watched that the day after Christmas, and I said, I'm going to give it 3 months to see how I feel. And I felt awesome, and I've been doing it ever since. So I guess that would be something that probably everybody doesn't know
about. And it's not because you don't like animals.
No. So vegan
I think that gets a bad rap sometimes. Yeah. People think that you're like, you know, anti-animal.
No, I grew up hunting deer, rabbit, pheasant. I grew up hunting everything, and I have no issues with that at all. I do not do it for the animals, I can tell you that. But, you know, basically it's no dairy and no meat, and I did it just because I feel like it's the right thing to do, and I've never had any health issues, which I'm very thankful to the Lord for that. But I've always I've always worked out, and I've just I tell you, I felt better than I've ever felt, and my recovery after my workouts are so much better now. But, you know,
I've hit the gym with him before. He's a beast.
Is he?
He's a beast.
Oh, wow.
But you know, it's just my overall health and the way I feel, and I feel great. But no, I couldn't say I have really any.
I think that's a uniquely hidden talent a little bit there. I mean, to kind of tell the drivers about a little bit, you know. So we like it, Carm. We really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of the week.
Yeah, we will. When we come back, we're going to do Kentucky, Florida, or Ohio. Bailey will hopefully have dug up some good stories for us to discuss. and to guess about, but it's our favorite segment of the week, behind Carm, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's probably going to fall flat after that awesome interview with Carm. It really was good. It was really good of you to come in here and talk to us about that.
Yeah, thank you, Carm. All right, you're listening to The Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Jeff Olson with M&W Transportation, driver of Truck 536, and you're listening to The Drive Podcast with Chris and Zach.
All right. Welcome back to The Drive Podcast with Zach, Chris, and Bailey.
We kind of took on that smooth voice, you know, to go with the
music.
Piano there, yeah. I think it happened subconsciously. Were you trying to do that?
No, I mean, I think it just happened.
Yeah. Sounded good.
Thank you, Chris.
You know, we've all been so happy and loving to each other today. I just wanted to keep that going.
Keep that going. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Good segment with Mr. Carm McKissick this morning. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was really good.
For sure, for sure. Bailey joins us again.
Hey, Bailey.
Hi.
There she is. This is Jeff Olson, remember?
Yeah.
He put this together for us.
Oh, that's really good. That's nice.
That's tickling the ivory there.
Yes, it is, Zach.
Pretty good.
Yes, it is.
pretty good.
Hey, what are we doing right now?
We are about to play our favorite game, Kentucky, yes. Ohio, or Florida. And hopefully Bailey has delivered on some quality stories. She's, what would you say? She's probably, what, 1 for 3? She's batting like 30.
I'm not going to start participating in some hate thing that
it's not
is
hate.
Going on.
It's not hate.
It's unsolicited criticism.
Thank you, Bailey. Bailey knows.
No,
she understands.
Let me be the peacemaker here.
Oh, okay.
Bailey has a lot of work to do.
She does.
And she doesn't have time to just hunt crazy stuff on the internet. She would not be a good employee if she did that. On the other hand, this is going to become the greatest podcast to ever be cast, and we need Bailey to bring the crazy.
Well,
so there's problems on both sides.
When this is, I won't need to do my normal job at M&W.
No, we got to do the work on the front end, and that's then right. We ride the wave into internet fame.
Okay.
So here's where you got to dig deep, Bailey. This is where you earn it. So
I've dug a little deeper.
You guys have patience on both sides, and everything's going to be all right. All right, Bailey, bring the crazy.
All right. Well, the states today, we've got Texas, Florida, or Alabama.
Texas, Florida, or Alabama.
Oh, yeah. That sounds real good.
That's already a good start, Bailey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's already, that's good. I like it.
All right.
All right.
Story one. Wait. Where are we at in scores?
Bailey 4, Chris 3, Zach 2.
All right. Zach, you got to bring it. You came through last time when you were behind.
I did. So.
All right.
Here we go.
Bailey.
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to start with the weakest story, so don't give me a bunch of flack.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it can only go up from here, I hope. Man slapped with big mouth Billy Bass singing fish after argument.
That's not a bad start.
Man slapped with. How do you slap somebody with I've had one of these, and you got to have. Would you grab the plastic holder piece?
Is that the thing that the fish that you hang on the wall that sings
the same songs and stuff? Yeah.
So somebody got slapped with one of those. All right, sorry, we won't interrupt anymore.
Keep going, baby.
Yeah, we will.
That's good stuff.
The man who was slapped is pressing charges, so the other guy is facing charge of domestic battery. It cut the guy's eyebrow.
Oh, no.
Apparently, someone was playing with the fish just to aggravate him.
And he took the fish out of the guy's hand and bassed him.
Yeah. And he said that he did not aim for the man when he threw the fish, just hit him by accident. That's about it.
I'm going to go with, it doesn't take me long on this. I felt it from the very beginning. I am going to go with Alabama on this.
That's definitely what it feels like. I can sympathize completely. Have you ever listened to one of those things? You said you had one of those things.
They're fantastic. Well,
yeah, if somebody pushed the button on that like 10 times in a row, you would be in one of these stories.
You think because, so?
Yeah, you would commit a murder.
Hmm. I don't know. What's your guess? I feel like you're...
Alabama.
Are you going Alabama too?
You're both going to go Alabama?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, wait.
Whoa.
This is just a strategy. This is just a strategy change.
She wouldn't have said that, though.
No changing.
I'll stay with Alabama then.
That's fine. Changing. Because until I said anything, you didn't think about changing.
No, it wasn't because you said anything. Mm. It was because I was rethinking my strategy of not letting Zach check.
Is it Alabama or not?
No, it is Florida.
That's okay. I was going to re-guess Texas.
So Bailey gets a point. That's hogwash.
That's perfect.
That was. There's so much crazier stuff in Florida.
I know. I mean.
There is.
Dang it. All right. No points for either one of us.
No.
Are you ready for story number two?
So why did she say what she said? You're both going to, you know, I'm trying to read.
I wasn't even listening to that. I was just thinking, don't let Zach catch up.
There's a lot to the. Thanks. There's a lot to this game. It is a game.
We're trying to win.
It is a competition.
We're trying to win.
All right. Here we go, Bailey.
Ready for number two?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Pet monkey escapes from truck, attacks Home Depot employee.
Yes.
What kind of monkey? Was it a spider monkey?
I believe so.
Or an orangutan? Does it matter?
Yes, it matters.
As it pertains to the state.
You could slap an orangutan with a billy bass, but a little spider monkey, they're wiry, and they can get around. This has got to be...
What does that have to do with the state, though?
It doesn't have anything.
Zach is very familiar species populations in each state.
That's right. I would love to have a spider monkey. They're cute and have their little diapers they wear.
Yes, it was a spider monkey.
Mm-hmm. You've never seen one of these? Besides,
do you remember
the movies?
Do you remember the day each one of your children got out of diapers?
Yes.
What an awesome day that was.
I do.
And now you want a monkey that has to wear one?
No, I just
want to
rent one for the weekend.
Oh.
Like a motorhome or a car.
It's like bachelor party at Zach's house. He's got a monkey.
Yeah, I don't have the kids this weekend. I'm going to rent a monkey and like a... some other stuff, and
I feel like this is the Hangover Part 4.
That's exactly a good picture.
All right. This has got to be wild animals out of control.
Monkey gets loose from a truck,
beating people,
goes into a Home Depot. Now, she hasn't repeated, I don't think, even once on us yet.
No, she hasn't. Because it does feel like it could be Florida. It really could be Florida. But I'm
saying I would
like
to set the record straight, and I did repeat last week.
Did you really?
I did.
Okay.
Did you?
I did.
I don't remember.
Oh.
But that's how memorable it was, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what'd you say you're going
with? You said it, Bailey. I'm not telling you. I've already said it. It's on vinyl.
In his defense, I didn't hear you either.
Yeah, none of us heard you.
You guys don't listen to me, do you?
No.
Texas. I said Texas.
All right, then I'm going Alabama.
It was, again, Florida.
Dang, she is like inside our heads, man.
Bailey, what are you doing?
She's winning this one.
Stories
what she's
on
doing.
The internet.
She's kicking our butts.
What's the score now?
Bailey 6.
6-3-2.
Chris 3, Zach 2.
It's hogwash. Exactly. Unbelievable.
It's not hogwash. I mean, we're just doing a poor job.
All right, Bailey. Here we go. Final story.
Are you ready to redeem
bring
yourselves?
Bring it home.
Grandmother armed with child's scooter fights off machete-wielding robbers dressed in clown masks.
Very good.
Nice.
It's just a lot to unpack.
Now, this one's tough.
Grandmother with a scooter.
She's on a scooter.
No, she's wielding one of those, like, razor scooters.
Oh, she's using it as a weapon. She's, like, throwing it.
Which part of the scooter? Is she holding, like, the handle and, like, swirling it above her head like a helicopter?
I don't know. It just kind of says she fought back with fists and child scooters.
I have these, and they hurt me. I can see where they could be used as a weapon.
They are shin busters, yes, for sure.
They are ankle biters.
Mm-hmm. None of that has anything to do with how we're going to guess on this thing.
This could be anywhere. Really could.
I'm going Alabama again.
So read the headline again, Bailey.
Grandmother armed with child scooter fights off machete-wielding robbers dressed in clown masks.
Did she win?
From what I gather, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like she...
She hit... After the clown-masked robbers were running away, she used the scooter to break a window on their car.
Wow.
just for spite. You don't mess with my baby.
So, older person, Florida. Scooter.
Let me plug in all my stereotypes.
Scooters. Alabama.
What?
And a grandmother who can whip some butt. Texas. It literally could be all three.
Even did your funny
this argument, did this fight
stereotypes
happen?
Are offensive.
Did this fight happen across three states?
No. One singular state.
A grandmother on vacation in Florida grabbed her kids' scooters from Alabama while returning home to Texas.
He knows he got the first layer under my skin, and he cannot resist. Well done.
She didn't have a gun, so that... probably. Yeah, it negates Texas.
Well, everybody not has a gun necessarily. She could have been outside. You know, I don't know.
So her saying that means it's not Texas. She's not supposed to help us in any way.
It's Alabama.
I'm going Alabama. Do you think she would go for the trifecta? Three for three?
It has occurred to me, yes.
That she was like, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to mess with them today. Since I've only done one duplicate. Yep.
And every time I've thought about that, I failed. So I'm just going to go with my gut, and I'm going to guess the story instead of...
Okay. Trying to read Bailey.
Right.
Which is probably a poor way to play this game.
Probably.
You're going Alabama?
Yep.
I'm going to go Florida. Bailey?
I am 3 for 3 today. It is Texas.
Gone it.
No way. She is crushing us, man.
I even had the buzzer ready for, like, we did a good job.
Nope.
That's how confident you are. You didn't even have that thing going.
No, I didn't have it up.
Yeah.
So, Bailey, congratulations.
What was that?
That was real creepy. I was expecting, like, a little round of applause.
Yeah.
Oh, you wanted the round of applause. I didn't
know. Little alien
Forgive
chirp.
Me. Forgive me.
No, that's okay.
That's my
fault. We're good.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a technical malfunction, wasn't it?
We'll be here all week. All right.
Well done, Bailey.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Daggone it. You should get a prize of some sort.
I thought we were getting ice cream at the end of the quarter.
Well, we are.
And you're buying.
But I didn't ever think that you would get... Why am I buying?
Because it was your idea.
I thought the two losers had to buy.
Okay.
I think the loser. I think the person in the middle is safe. Right?
He's cutting you off.
I don't get any ice cream, but I don't have to buy.
So the person in last place?
The person in last place has to buy. I say that because you're currently in last place.
I'm sitting here going, yeah, we're making these rules up as we go. So, Bailey, you have how many points?
Seven.
Good gracious.
Yeah.
You have three?
Three.
And I have two.
Yeah.
So even if I run the table next week, I can't even catch up. Man.
What makes you think you would ever run the table?
I'm going to figure out the strategy. There's a pattern. There is data.
There's a pattern.
There's data there that I can analyze, and we can figure this thing out.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you can measure it, you can change it.
Well, drivers, we appreciate you listening to us today. We really do. Thank you for listening to the Drive Podcast. Please share it with your friends and family if you think that it's somewhat enjoyable sometimes, unless you're tired of Bailey winning at everything. But no, we do appreciate your listenership, and glad to have our listens up well over 350. We're almost to 400 listens.
So all right.
Thank you for that. But a great day with Karn McKissick, and then Kentucky, Ohio, and Florida. Bailey, you did a good job today. I got to give you props.
Yep.
Nice. You did awesome.
Nice work. Keep those coming.
All right.
I will do my best.
For Chris Woody and Bailey Walters, I'm Zach Pugh. You've listened to the Drive Podcast. We'll see you next week, guys.